We'll desire your prayers again this morning. I have, to start off with, I have an unusual request, something I've never done before and probably won't again. But before we get into the message, I need some help from you all. And, give me permission to get your cell phones out, and I want you to set a timer. And there's a reason for this. So set a timer for 30 minutes, and it's okay if it goes off. That's part of the purpose. So I'll give you guys, I'll tell you when to go. Don't start it yet. I'll tell you when to go. We'll let everybody get their phones out. So everybody has them out. Everybody's about ready. And if it's on silent, it'll still go off, so unless you have the volume turned all the way down. Okay, so you can start your timers now. Go. So I have a title written on the board this morning, Redeeming the Time. And we'll read that scripture here after a moment. But for the sake of this discourse, and part of the purpose of the timer is when the timer is up, my time is done. Okay? So that's why I said this is a little unusual this morning. But to put this in another perspective, and if you humor me here for a little bit, it's not meant to be comical necessarily this morning, but there's a purpose for this. I gave you guys 30 minutes and a lot of time. You know, all of us have an allotted time in our life, but none of us know the exact amount of time. Time is a segment. There's a beginning point and an ending point. It's not a line. If you remember geometry class, it's a segment, a beginning and an ending. And if the statistics say worldwide that there are approximately 3,150 deaths every 30 minutes worldwide. You do the math and break that down to a minute, that's 105 deaths every minute. That's astounding, isn't it? The upside of that is there's typically twice as many births, so that's a good thing. So we're glad for that. But it is a sobering thought to think about it. 3,150 deaths every 30 minutes worldwide. So in thinking of these thoughts here this morning, my burden is not to bring out guilt or shame to any of us for perhaps not redeeming the time that we've been allotted. Because let's be honest with ourselves. We've all been guilty of it at one point or another. It's called life. It's called being a human. But this is why we have God's Word to teach us, to show us that it is important to redeem the time that we've been allotted. So in considering this, my burden is more for us to be aware of how precious time really is, and to learn from our experiences in life and learn how to better redeem our time. I have something else here this morning. I don't know if I can set it up here where I have. It's not an hourglass. This is actually a minute glass. But there's a saying that says, there's only one glass you can never refill, the hourglass. And you think about that. Time, once it expires, it's done. Whether it's the allotted time here this morning, or whether it's your allotted time when you clock in and out at work, or at school, or some type of sports activity, you name it. There is an end. There is an end. And then ultimately, our lives. There comes an end. Excuse me. So here I have a little minute glass. It's really close to a minute, maybe a few seconds over. But if you'll again humor me one more time, I want us all to watch this minute glass. Time's up. That was a minute. It seems like a long time, doesn't it, Sister Esther? It does. When you're actually, it's like they say, when you watch a clock, it's like, it just seems like it takes forever. But when you're doing something busy and activity, whatever you're enjoying, it's like, it flies. You don't even realize 5 minutes go by like that. But you know, in just that 1 minute, as I mentioned earlier, 105 souls went out into eternity. Think about that. But consider again, 1 minute. Think of all the good, positive things you could cram into 1 minute. You understand what I'm saying? Think of the good, wholesome, positive thoughts you could think. Now, when I was staring at this, and when you all were looking at this little minute glass, no doubt a lot of thoughts were going through your mind. Some of them probably thinking, this is a crazy guy up here. But really, in 1 minute, think of all the things you are capable of thinking of, all right, in 1 minute. And then think of also the kind words you could say in 1 minute's time to several people. You could say several little words to several people. Think of a prayer that you could pray in 1 minute and how effective that can be. And then on the flip side of it, think of the evil that can take place in just 1 minute. We don't really like to think on that, but it's reality, folks. We live in a wicked world. I'm thankful for those that choose to live for God and do the good and the right. But we all have an allotted time. I have some scriptures I want to turn to in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Ephesians 5, we'll start with verse 15. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And we'll just stop right there and talk about this a little bit. I referenced this verse last Sunday. We are talking about the thief. And that is the enemy of our souls, Satan, desiring to destroy us, to steal from us, and to kill us, and so on and so forth, and to steal things from us. But one of the ways to combat that is to walk circumspectly, to see where the enemy is at. What is he doing? What does he look like today? Because, let's be honest, the devil doesn't always walk up to us with, you know, red face, with these horns and a pitchfork and say, "Hey, I'm the devil and I'm here to tempt you today. And in this 1 minute of time, I want to fill it with evil thoughts." The devil doesn't approach us like that. He's sneaky, folks. And he'll steal these minutes from us. Well, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." What does circumspectly mean? It simply means to be diligent to look just in front of you or just to the side of you. No. Circumspectly means to look all around you. Yes, the enemy can be behind you. He can be over here hiding behind something. He can be over here. You look all around you. You're aware of your surroundings. Like, where am I at? What's going on? Why did God put me here? We heard about some of that in adult Sunday school class this morning. Why has God put me here on this earth? What am I supposed to be doing with the minutes that God has given me? Well, to walk circumspectly, that means to discern, be cautious, alert, watchful, that we might be able to discern the evil that's around us, the enemies, how the devil is working, the danger. And I think another part of it is to be more aware of how precious time is. Someone said it this way: time is the most valuable thing that mankind spends. Think about that. We spend a lot of things, you know, money, effort, energy, all those things, you know. But time is the most valuable thing we spend. So let's read on. Verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. What does that mean? Redeeming. It means, in one sense, it can mean to buy up or to hold ransom. Okay. But in this application, redeeming the time would be rescuing from loss. In other words, realizing there needs to be a change, and to keep from greater loss of time, we make some improvements or changes, and we acknowledge, oh, that's a time waster. I remember in my career years ago, one of the plants I worked at, a factory, we're a manufacturing facility, manufactured things out of sheet metal and tubing and pipe and so on and so forth. And I was involved there for a while with time studies. And you know what was really interesting? Is we would first analyze the cost of this product that we were shipping out the door. And, you know, the guys in management, especially, you know, in the accounting, sales departments, you know, they're realizing what we're selling a product for, and then what does the product cost us? And they're realizing, you know what? We're not making much money on these products over here. So let's figure out ways to improve our profitability. You know, little tiny things like, because we would make like hundreds or thousands of some of these parts, but they figured out ways to save money by simply reducing maybe 5 or 6 physical footsteps in a process. Just from carrying a part from over here and setting over here and doing something and back and forth, moving the part back and forth, they realized, you know what, if we could do several things to this part right here and not move it so far, even though it's a few footsteps in just a few seconds, you compound that over a whole day, and it's thousands of seconds that you can save. And that equals money, ultimately, all right? Because time is precious. And we figured out ways to reduce cost and become more profitable. So that is called redeeming the time, okay? You're analyzing what you're doing, and you're like, all right, I realize this is not being very profitable. Okay, so I'm going to do something to counter that. Well, and it takes walking circumspectly to analyze that, to look around you and realize, you know what? The devil's been on me about this situation for maybe years. And I've been wasting a lot of time trying to deal with him directly on that and not making any headway. So maybe the best thing is, let me turn this over to God. And Lord, what can you do with this? I can't do anything more with it. And it's amazing what God can do. When we turn and we trust Him for things like that, then maybe we've been spinning our wheels, you see. We're not, and so redeeming the time is casting all the care upon the Lord. That may be one avenue. There's many other aspects, but these are just a couple of examples here this morning. So thinking of this last part, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now I want to emphasize something here just for a little bit to help us grasp. This is just a minuscule example. So back in Jesus' days, they estimated that the population of the world on the earth at that time was around 200 million, approximately. So about 2,000 years ago, population of the earth was around 200 million. Well, today, the population of the earth is over 7 billion, and it just keeps rising. If you do the math, that's more than 35 times the population. So you start thinking of maybe the evil that was going on back then. Well, it's compounded. It's amplified today. And it goes even beyond that. Because if you think about this, the more evil people there are and their influences, the more evil influences there are. You see what I'm saying? And that's where we realized, oh, how important it is to put good influences and a positive impact out there. And to redeem the time that our time is short. We need to do what we can to further the gospel message, and to let our light shine, that the evilness is just continuing to get darker and darker and more gross all the time. And just to give you an example, here in our nation, there's been laws passed before, but it seems like there are more every year, different angles of it. But some of the recent laws passed about abortion, where they can take a child in the womb and end its life minutes prior to birth, it's just incomprehensible. When you compare that to, there are also laws that protect eggs from particular birds, that if you destroy those eggs, because the eggs, they've not been hatched yet. They might, you know, but if those are destroyed, you'll get fined and possibly serve a sentence for killing these little eggs from a bird. Now, I'm not advocating just going out and destroying any animal you find. That's not the point. But it's as if the mindset of the evil folks on this earth, this earth, and how the devil is working, is trying to devalue, all right, human life. Where this unborn child is not as protected as these eggs over here of a bird. You see what I'm saying? That is messed up. That is calling evil good and good evil. There's so many ramifications from that. I'm not even going to go into that. But the point is, the days are evil. And they said this 2,000 years ago, folks, when this was written. How much more evil is there today? Okay? So, Lord, help us to redeem the time. Now I want to move on to verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I want to focus on this part, be not unwise. What it's meaning here is don't be mindless and foolish with your time and treat it haphazardly. But there's another side to it. You realize it's also teaching us to be godly as we spend our time. It teaches us to be temperate. And I'm going to take this a step further. It also means not running around frantic, okay, and making a commotion, all excited and just, you know, going crazy, all right? It says you need to be wise. Don't be unwise, but be wise. In other words, you sit down with a clear mind. Analyze your own life. All right, analyze my own life. Invite the Lord to search my heart, my life. Okay? Be wise. Analyze it. Be honest with ourselves. Be honest with God. And even write some notes down if you have to. It's okay. Because if you're like me, you forget. Next week's like, what was that? And it also means be calm about it. And persistent. And dedicated. And be mature about it. Again, not making a big scene, just running, oh, I gotta hurry, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, you know, and everybody's like, would you calm down? We can't even, you know what I'm saying? But be wise about it, okay? Because God wants these things to count, alright? And he wants us to take these things seriously, okay? Because again, it's not a game. And when you consider being wise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, it takes it to a whole nother level. Because it's so easy we as human beings to take things, to act or react in life in selfish ways. Because, again, time is precious to us, all right? And quite frankly, you know, a lot of the inventions that we have nowadays are to save time. Whether it's cooking devices, tools. just yesterday I was in Home Depot and was noticing that they're always coming out with these amazing cordless screw guns. And they're amazing. The batteries they have on them, they last forever. And the torque and the power, and they're smaller and lightweight. I have an older one, and it's heavy, kind of clunky. And I'll be honest with you, I could be more efficient with my time to have a new tool, okay? But those are just little things that, and when a person really starts analyzing life, it's like, yeah, I think I could improve my time here and improve it there. But again, God wants us to focus on what His will is for our lives. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, Lord, maybe I freed up all this time and I'm aware of how I need to redeem my time. Now, Lord, how do you want me to apply my time? You see what I'm saying? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? All right? You know, that to the Lord, I can imagine be the most inviting thing, besides salvation, obviously. But then going back to the Lord, say, okay, Lord, you've saved me, you've cleaned me up, I'm a new creature. Now, Lord, what do you want me to do with my time? Can you imagine someone else coming up to you and offering that to you? You're like, oh, well, but really, that's our whole design, how God made us. Again, it is to glorify Him, okay? To lift Him up as God in our life and to be an example of the believers, as Scripture says. Well, I want to read what, we'll move on to these next verses, what the will of the Lord is. Let's start with verse 18. It says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You know, that's what, Lord help us, that would be all of our desires, that we be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. That be our focus. Lord, teach me how to apply my heart, my time unto wisdom, that I might be more like you, that I might be filled with your Spirit, have your inspiration, your blessing upon my life, your peace in my heart. Okay? And then it says, be not drunk with wine, but wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That means don't be full of self, but be full of God. Okay? Not selfish. And then it goes on, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, that's refreshing. To hear some good, spiritual, wholesome, godly songs. That is so uplifting. It is so fitting. And not just in worship services. It can be by yourself driving down the road. You think of a song, or you see a sign that reminds you of a song, oh, or you see a number that reminds you of a song, number in our song. You see what I'm saying? All those things, but do those things. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. All right? Again, it's not something to puff yourself up and make yourself be known and seen, but no, this is to the Lord, to glorify Him, to sing praises and thanksgivings to Him. And that's what this next verse says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks. What a good way to spend your time, my time. That minute right here. Think of all the things we could tell the Lord. Lord, thank you for life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for these answers to prayer. Thank you for having mercy upon me. And Lord, thank you for putting people in my life to help me draw closer to you, to teach me more about your word. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit to deal with me, to convict me, to teach me. Our life would be so much richer, wouldn't it? This is a challenge for me too, folks. That we learn how to redeem our time. That we not walk through life haphazardly. That we walk circumspectly. That we look around us. Maybe we see how Satan has stolen things from other people and maybe our own lives in the past. Say, Lord, I want to take time to ask forgiveness. to receive forgiveness, to do a good deed, to make that phone call, to speak those kind words. You see what I'm saying? And let's not put those things off until tomorrow, the next year, the next month, whatever. That we be willing to take action now. So you know what, Lord, you can help me be a better Christian, a better child of God, a better father, a better mother, a better whatever. You can help me now to do that. To redeem the time. And you think of all the folks that don't have the privilege of learning about God's Word and His plan for their lives. You know what that does? That puts an even greater burden upon us. Lord, teach me how to work for You. Teach me how to let my light shine. That there may be someone that's never heard about the gospel, that's never read a Bible, but yet, if we can take just a few moments and show some attention to somebody, show some attention to somebody that maybe everyone else overlooks, everyone else ignores, oh, that's just so-and-so, oh, don't give them, you know. Don't waste your time on them. You've heard people say that. Dear ones, I'm thankful there were some folks that were willing to spend some time for my soul. They were on their knees praying for me. They spent more than just 1 minute, more than 30 minutes, more than an hour. That is a tremendous blessing, folks, to have someone praying for you, to have someone praying for me. And to think that we also have that same privilege, that we too can spend that time in turn praying for someone else. And maybe it's someone that we see they're caught in a trap. And Satan is stealing things from them. And we say, oh Lord, would You have mercy upon them? Lord, would You manifest Yourself to them? Lord, would You teach them? Would You show them? Lord, would You rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name? You know, there's so many things we can do with our time. And it's not so much that we sit down and analyze it, which it's good to do that. Maybe document your time by segments of the day. You can do that too. But it's applying it properly. It's applying it in a way that is meaningful, that is effective. You see what I'm saying? That's efficient. All right? Because as I mentioned earlier, a person can go about foolishly doing things, saying things, making a commotion. They think they're doing something right, something great and wonderful, but it's not efficient. It's not effective. Maybe it's not inspired by God. You see what I'm saying? That's why it says here, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What a great and high calling. That we as children of God have the privilege of having the Spirit of God within us. Remember in the Gospels it talks about the Spirit that would bring all things to our remembrance and teach us the way. That would bring those things back to our mind. And you know, there's ways where the devil will blind us and think that whatever we've been doing and spending our time on was a good thing. And we maybe spend years doing that. And then we realize later that that was not such a good thing. And maybe this Holy Spirit brings something back to our mind that we heard maybe a week ago, a month ago. And He says, this is what I want you to do, child. And if we're willing to stop, even if it is just for a minute, okay, and invite the Lord and say, Lord, what is it You want me to do? Lord, what is it You want me to change? And you know what? I want to mention this too. The devil is good about stealing our peace. He can get us to think that, you know what? I've been such a bad person. I've wasted so much time. Why try to improve and change on that now? You know, the devil will tell you that. He'll tell us that. But what does it say here? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Being wise is asking the Lord, Lord, would You forgive me? Lord, would You help me? Lord, would You teach me how to improve upon this? Lord, would You give me the grace and the strength to rise above this and be willing to try once again. Say, Lord, I failed miserably at this area or this area and not redeeming the time. But Lord, would you teach me and show me, reveal to me? And see, folks, this is a personal relationship with God. I can't speak these words to you individually. I can't tell you how you've wasted time. You can't tell me how I've wasted time. But I know if I'm honest with myself and with the Lord, He'll reveal it to me. The Lord will reveal it to you. Isn't that wonderful? That this is, this gospel, God is such a big God, but yet the gospel is such a personable gospel. That it comes right down to where we live everyday life. And God is interested in the little details of our lives. My time is up.